And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Detroit Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. How you doing?
All right. I was told by one of our people I listened to our podcast that I was being too angry last week, even though I was telling everybody else to be calm about this season. So you feel that, you hear the positiveness in me, don't you, Michael?
Very seldom.
I'm talking about right now. You hear it coming out, exuding from me.
I think it's forced. I really
Well, it is forced because I don't know. I was trying all night to find another example of a team to score 45 points and lost, and I don't know when the last time it happened, but it hasn't been that many, if ever.
Well, no. That game between the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs in Mexico City, 2-3 years ago, I think it was 51-48. Jared Goff was the winning quarterback in that matchup. I know. I think it probably was 3 years ago. But, yeah, that's been done before, believe me.
Not by the Lions, though, right?
I don't think so. No, I don't know.
Now, I can only tell you by watching it. I was not at the game yesterday, so I was watching it on television. So I can only tell you by watching it on TV that I just thought it was a total lack of fire on the defense. Forget about if they just were outplayed or just don't have the ability to actually play defense. But when the other team doesn't punt, and I don't see a helmet thrown, I don't see the anger that you would see out of certain players if they were getting ran up and down the field. I didn't see that yesterday. Did you see the fire in that defense?
Well, I don't know if they got anything to fire with because they didn't, you know, look, the thing that struck me was, I don't think it was like a sloppy, comical game with, you know, turnovers and fumbles and all that. I mean, not just up and down the field the whole game. I thought both teams, you know, you got to give the Seattle credit for getting an interception and a return for a touchdown. But I think both teams, you know, offensively earned what they got, and I think both they probably deserved defensively what they got. And you know, Seattle had more to give than the Detroit Lions did. Look, it's the worst offense in football statistically. And it is by the eye test too. It's terrible.
Well, we'll get in that in a minute because I want to.
Sure,
I want to know exactly why you think it's terrible. We'll get in that in a minute, but
because
just
it
a,
is.
Yeah, but just, I'm talking about the reasons why. Just because it. But the reasons why yesterday that infuriated me the most. There were a couple plays that just infuriated me. One was, you know, when the refs blew the whistle and the play wasn't called back. I wasn't even mad at that play. That's not the play I'm mad at. Because that happens. The play after it, I'm mad at, where you just let a guy run for a touchdown. Forget about the first. You let him run for the touchdown after that play because it just infuriated me, Mike.
Was that Rashad Penny?
Yeah, it was Penny on a big run.
You know,
Warrior El Matadoro whiffed on him, the one person that could have tackled him. Even though he might have had the first, but he whiffs at him instead of, you know, actually trying to tackle him. And he just goes in for a touchdown. You're almost at least to a field goal with him or off the field totally, and you can get back in the game, tie it, and you go down 14 again.
Well, there were two plays to me, Ken, which I get angry, but just looking, shook my head. One was the roll right from right to left when you're in at the stadium. I don't know where you were. And wide receiver wide open in the end zone, no one near him. Absolutely no one near him. It reminded me of week one when Jalen Hurts had that run around right end and just literally walked into the end zone. That was number one. And number two, even more costly, I think, was third and five with, what, a minute to go, somewhere in there. And the Detroit Lions have five linemen, you know, all five. They're going to close the gaps and then ran right through him.
Yeah.
Right through him.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
That's the one to me. The game is on the line. Now, you've heard me harp about this probably a million times. I'd like to find some sort of statistic that's not tackles. It's called winning plays. And those are winning plays. And the Detroit Lions, despite everything that happened, had a chance to make a winning play there and whiffed. Absolutely whiffed.
No, I can't argue that point. But I still think they. I see you've been running around. You sound like you're out in the wind tunnel.
I am.
I'm supposed to say it, so calm down. I think that
I'm not going to call them.
I think that they would have went for it twice because that scenario is basically the same scenario as last week. If they didn't get it on third down and they got within 2 yards of that first, they were going to go for it on fourth.
All right. Okay, but we'll get the fourth down after.
I know. I'm just saying for people that think that.
There's nothing. It's not against the rules to get it on, to get them on fourth down.
No, but these are the people last week who were dogging Dan Campbell, whatever. It was the exact same scenario this time, but they got theirs on third down. The Lions didn't. And that's the difference in a week from 1 week to another, getting the ball back. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I asked you about this earlier and for the people out there.
So has my answer been rehearsed?
You never gave it to me because I refused to hear from
you. Are you going to wear me down again?
I refuse to hear from you. I have no problem with them getting one side of the ball to be great and then work on the other side afterward. I don't want them to be mediocre on both sides of the ball because that's your way to an 8-9 record and, you know, making the playoffs once every 4 years. I don't want that. What they've done, and I'm saying Brad Holmes, is he's made one side of the ball great. They're a great offense. There's no way around it. You can say whatever you want, how lucky who they play. They're a great offensive team. They have everything covered on that team. Offensive line, skill position players, and a functional quarterback that's way above average.
I just want to add one thing there, and I agree with you, by the way, but I want to add one thing. There's somebody here who deserves some credit for this, and that's Bob Quinn, the former general manager, who basically built that offensive line through drafts and whatever else they did. Those are really, including Evan Brown, the backup center and guard that they claimed on waivers, I think, on Christmas Eve a couple of years ago. So give him credit for that, and the rest goes to Brad Holmes. But I agree with you, and I'll tell you a quick story, if you don't mind. I once interviewed Lovie Smith, the head coach then of the Chicago Bears, and he inherited a pretty good offense, but they kept drafting and adding – I'm sorry, defense, pretty good defense. But they kept adding to it until I think they had the number one or number two defense in the National Football League. And I asked him why he did that, and he said, because I want to have one side of the team be really good. And they got to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it, and eventually he got fired because he couldn't generate an offense. But it's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before. And
I'm not saying it's good or bad, because we'll see the results, but they've got to do something defensively, Kenny, or they're never going to get anywhere.
Well, yeah, and you're either going to be the San Diego Chargers of the 80s. They never could get over the hump because they just didn't play enough D. They had the great offense.
Let's get to the hump.
That Miami playoff game, to me, that was over the hump. When the big Kellen Winslow game. I don't want to get deep in it. See, you got me back. You always dragging me back to the 80s. I'm trying to stay up here. But anyway.
80s is new to me.
I know, but I hate to tell you this, but the 80s was 42 years ago, Mike. It may be new to you, but it was 42 years ago. So they can be the San Diego Chargers, or they can develop and become, I don't want to say it because people are going to start laughing, but if you get a defense to go with the offense, you become the 49ers of the 80s.
Absolutely.
So that's the point you're at now.
81, four Super Bowls.
But they had an offense, and they developed a defense enough to win. Nobody's asking them to beat the 85 Bears on defense. But if you can get – they're worst in the league now, they're 32nd. If by the end of the year they're between 25, if they're in the top 25, I would consider a defensive success.
You know, Kenny, I put together some statistics. This is about as unscientific. I mean, if football statistics are scientific, about as unscientific as it can get. But you know, used to call this the first quarter, but I don't know. Is there a quarter?
It's a quarter, and the first quarter of the next game is the actual first quarter.
Yeah, whatever. But if you look at the comparisons offensively and defensively compared to last year, there is no comparison. I mean, the offense has, like almost 100 yards more per game, 70 yards more passing, 60 or 50 or whatever it is, more rushing and all of that, and more points. The defense, completely the opposite, completely. And both teams have undergone a significant change since the end of last season. The Lions have a new offensive scheme under their new, rookie, if you want to call it that, rookie offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. The Lions have, the same coordinator in Anthony Glenn, but they've got a new system. They went from the 3-4 read and react to the 4-man front attack, and it hasn't taken. The difference is absolutely stunning how many more yards they're giving up rushing, passing, and points. They're not even in the ballpark.
Yeah, who's the? But Mike, this is my point when you say this thing. And I remember
I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm not taking a stand.
No, but I'm just trying to elaborate more to your point. And I said this years ago with the Patricia defenses. Who is the leader on the defense? Who's the one player that's a leader? Right now, it's a rookie. And it's not the first pick rookie.
Oh, you're talking about
Rodriguez is basically the leader out there to me. I don't see Tracy Walker was, but since he got hurt, who is the leader of the defense?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't know that they have one. I think
that's a problem. If you can't come out with a name right now, that's a problem.
Well, if I was gonna name one, I'd be Alex Anzalone, but I don't.
You can only lead by your play.
You've got to be good.
Yeah, you got to be good. You can't. That's like the ML Carr. You know, you can wave that towel on the bench all you want, but Larry Bird, Parrish, or McHale, one of those guys is the one that's going to lead the team. You know, ML Carr can do all that, but we don't need an ML Carr out there.
Wait a second. If we're going to go back to the 80s and 70s, let's at least keep it to football, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
Right. Now.
You know what? Throw in the towel on this reverie.
Right. So, defensively, I want to see some changes. This 4-2-5 to me. I think they should throw three linebackers out there, you know, on most downs.
I really don't. I just don't. I don't think it's not a linebacker driven league anymore. Unless you've got, you know, like some of the, like the guy up with the Patriots. Yeah, I'm not the Patriots. The Tampa Bay Bucks guys like that, White.
Devin White.
You got a superior player, okay, but. It's a little tough. I'll tell you one thing I'd look at, and this is just me now. You know, they signed Jared Davis to the practice squad for a reason. Well, guess what? I have 555 reasons to play him, and that was the 555
Mike,
yards.
Mike,
gave up. Yes.
You have been listening to my conversation on the way into work today. I said that. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine, on the way into work. I said the exact same thing. I don't know. Now I'm scared. Because I'm actually agreeing with you. Now I'm terrified. As a matter of fact, after I leave this podcast, I'm going to visit Henry Ford Healthcare and see if they can look me over. Because I agree. Mike, I just said that about an hour ago. I said I would bring Jared Davis back up. For one thing, you know, he may make a few mistakes, but he will make a play or two every game that will help you win.
Kenny, on 3rd and 5, you tell him you fill this gap. Guess what he's going to do?
He's going to hit that gap.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see him and Rodriguez, like you said, on a play like that, because each of them is going to fill a gap. But, Mike, we can talk about the linebackers, which I did, so I'm taking blame for that. I said I wanted more of them out there. The failure of this defense is in that defensive line.
Absolutely.
You can talk about the backfield, defensive backfield, whatever. They're only as good as those first four guys.
I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it is so hard to cover the National Football League. It's even hard in college now.
Right. Well, look at Okuda. Look at Okuda yesterday. On the score sheet, it looked like Metcalf burned him 149 yards, was wearing him out. I thought Okuda played a decent game.
He played fine.
I thought he played fine. But like I said, if you're going to hold guys to 7 seconds and let the guy sit back there and throw, because on the one deep one to Metcalf, I think it was into the first half or whatever, where he got down to like the one. Okuda step for step with him, but he had 7 seconds to throw the ball. He lobbed it up. He went and got it. He was bigger than Okuda. He got it. There's nothing you can do.
Said bigger. Kenny, that is one big dude.
Man, he is remarkable.
Who can run?
He's not Megatron, though. Let's get that out. I know they tried to say
Megatron.
That. But he's the next. No, he's the next. Boy. He's a Minitron. If Megatron's Megatron, he's Minitron.
Well, he's Minitron with better hands than Megatron, though.
Yeah, but he's not as fluid to me. He doesn't jump like Megatron did. He doesn't have that.
Very few people, too. But I'll tell you one thing. When he went into those Olympic trials for the 100-meter dash, well, he got exposed, but guess what? He ran 10-8.
No, he can run. He can run.
Yeah, he can run. That's moving.
He can run.
Especially at that size.
So I want to see, hopefully – we're here at the press conference today that some of these injured guys are coming back, because you got 2 second-round picks the last 2 years that you need to help you. But think about this. If you had those 2 second-round picks playing, and
well,
you had
wait, how do we know they haven't played?
I'm saying, but if you had them in a rotation, they're just even if
Josh,
they're rotation guys, if they're in a rotation.
Josh Bashel didn't even practice.
He did practice in a minicamp. And he flashed in the minicamp a little bit too. Some skills. He did flash skills in the minicamp.
Well, you saw more than I did.
I did, because I was looking at him. I was looking at him.
I haven't seen it.
But like I said, I trust Brad Holmes drafting. I think these guys could be in the rotation this year, and I want to see what they can get out of. Number two, a loss that nobody's talking about now, but it's big, looming big right now, is John Pennacini.
Oh, I agree with you.
A big loss that nobody's talking about. Because he was one of those guys you could stick in there, and he was going to occupy some space.
We were talking to Dan Campbell about that, and you know, John Pennacini, for people who don't remember, spent a couple of years here in Detroit as a sixth-round draft pick, I believe, out of Utah or Utah State. Kenny, one of those two?
Yeah, I think it was Utah.
I think so.
Maybe Utah. I don't know. Somewhere out west. Farther away than here.
One thing he said about him is
somewhere west of
here. You can't move him.
Right.
You can't move him.
Yeah.
You can't. At that spot, and you know, it was not great lateral movement or anything like that, but that spot, he owns it.
Yep.
But he had a family issue and had a long discussion with Dan Campbell, who's really great with players and stuff like this. He really is. They talked it out. I told him, what you're doing, what you're giving up and all that, think it over. Look, it would not surprise me if John Pennacini called today. They'd send a jet out there to get him.
Man, please. I'd have been on his doorstep after the game last night.
Well,
I'll fly you back home every night. Just be there for practicing games, and you can go back home the rest of the week.
You know, and I sort of admire Pennacini for doing what he thinks is the right thing.
No.
I certainly don't.
But I hope whatever his issue is, it gets resolved in his favor, and he can come back, if not this year, next year, or whenever.
Right.
Because, like I said, I think he can make some money in this game,
absolutely.
And he's a good player.
Absolutely.
Now,
yes, he is.
Now, I'm not even going to talk about the rest of the office. I looked at PFF's scores today. Kirby Joseph ranked high. You know, he got burned for the first touchdown or whatever, but they ranked him high. Maybe I have to go back and look at the game now and see what I saw, but they said he played okay.
Well, first of all, okay is not good enough. And
he ranked high, Mike, on these scores. It wasn't like an average score. So I got to go back and look.
I'm surprised.
I know. I got to go back and look.
When you do that, first do it with your right eye, then your left eye, then both eyes, to make sure you're looking at the right guy.
Right.
Okay?
Well, let's talk about the offense. First of all, let's get this out the way. Quintez Cephas, injury of the week, has happened again. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but this is going to be one of those cases, and he's starting to remind me of these guys that had the talent but just couldn't stay healthy, and you just got to move on.
Look, he could have been a guy who had an 8 or 9 year career as the fourth receiver, maybe the fifth or whatever, but he'd have been in the league and made some dough and had a nice cushion to start the rest of his life. But what's the old line? The greatest ability is availability. He doesn't have it.
Yep. And I hate to say it.
He just came off. He wasn't on the injured list, but he'd been out and unavailable. I think he played two games in bingo.
And the biggest recipient of his not being available is Josh Reynolds, because I'm telling you right now, Josh Reynolds, to me, has solidified himself in that rotation. You know, he was on the borderline at the beginning of the year, because you had brought DJ Chalk in, and you had – St. Brown, and you had other guys that were out there, and you had Jameson Williams coming on. But Reynolds, to me, since he got here, he solidified himself as one of the good members of this offense.
Yeah, I think he's like I would consider him the third or fourth receiver, something like
that. Which is what we want Cephas to be.
Plus, I think that depends on how you characterize T.J. Hockenson too. I mean, I think look, you get him the ball, get him rolling, get him humming. You saw what he did yesterday. Now, he's not going to do that every game. No tight end.
Why didn't you let me – you're talking about Reynolds, right?
No, I'm talking about T.J. Hockenson.
Well, we're going to get to that. See, you always jumping in when I'm trying to set this up. I was going to get to T.J. last, but you wanted to jump in. Reynolds. Let's talk about Reynolds.
And I segued.
Don't segue. I'll do the segue in here. You do the responding. I'll do the segue.
Anytime I say something that sounds halfway smart, you want to take credit for it.
Well, since you already took my segue, I'll let you segue into it. The guy who I said, and I'm ashamed of you when we talk about T.J. Hockenson too, because you should have been co-signing what I said the last few weeks. That I expected to see more out of him. You were like, he's okay. I said, no, he's not. It's so much more in him that you can get out of.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But look, they've got guys who get the ball. My question for him yesterday was, have you sort of been feel like you've been rediscovered here? And he said no. He said we have so many guys who get the ball. It just depends on when it's your turn. Now, I don't know if deep down in his heart he really likes that.
That's a cop out.
The ball.
That's a cop out. Because I'm gonna tell you right now.
He's just not. No, it's a guy who's not causing problems.
Yeah, not. You don't necessarily have to cause problems, but either the coaching is bad on that, or he's not demanding the ball enough. But there are certain situations, like I'm gonna tell you right now, on plays like that 4th and 4 last week in Minnesota, or play a 3rd and 1 play or whatever, he got to say, "Look, just get me the ball. I got a little guy on me. I'm better than him." And that's not being disruptive. He has the talent. We saw it yesterday. We've seen it last year. His first game of his career was a 100-yard game against the Arizona Cardinals.
We've seen him at his best. And 2 years ago, he made the Pro Bowl. And in spite of what the critics and a couple of windbags who remain unidentified, you know, he was on his way to another Pro Bowl last year. He had, 61
catches.
60-some catches,
right.
After what, 11 games, 12 games, mm-hmm. That's a lot of catches for a tight end. Everybody sees the top two or three guys who get 90 catches, 100 catches, and then it falls off.
Right.
Falls right off the cliff down to the second-tier players.
Yeah. And I'm not worried about quantity from him, even though I think his quantity should go up. But I want to see some quality plays, and there are times in that game. And when Jameson Williams gets back in there, and you got St. Brown on your lower level, you got Jameis Williams going to be in the up level, there's going to be a lot of room around there for him. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think this offense is humming now, if they all stay healthy and Jameson is half of what people think he is, they're going to hum. They're going to hum.
When you keep saying when Jameson Williams gets back, he hasn't been there yet.
I know, but I count it as gets
back.
Well, he's getting back on the field. I didn't say where the last field he was on, but he is getting back on the field.
And when he gets back on the field, the first thing the coaches should tell him?
What?
Don't carry the football with you, okay? We're going to throw it to you when we want you to have it. Leave the football on the sideline.
Exactly. Now, number two, another guy that was kind of maligned yesterday, I think proved himself some more, is the running back Williams. I thought people were.
Absolutely, yeah.
Starting to question if he had any running left in him, or he was just loud talking all the time out there. But he proved he could still carry the load when you need him.
Yeah, he had 108
yards, I believe.
On 19 carries, he had 2 touchdowns. He now, after 4 games, has 6 touchdowns. He leads the National Football League in touchdowns.
Yes, about 2 or 3 of those were Swifts carrying it down to the end, and he took it in. But that's okay.
Well,
still touchdowns.
Is there something wrong with being good at short yardage?
Still touchdowns. Also yesterday, the kicker should have ran him out of the Silver Dome and maybe the state.
Well, I put it on Twitter. Has a kicker ever been cut at halftime?
I mean, it's just demoralizing to miss an extra point on your first score. It just demoralizes you as a team. Damn! Now we got to go for two. Oh yeah, but now we got to go for 2 later in the game, or this could be big. And then he missed another one.
Yeah, and he plus also made a kickoff out of bounds.
Man, Mike, I would have had trials at halftime. You know when they used to drop the thing off the envelope into the shopping carts at halftime and stuff. I'd have had kicking competition out there. I said we can find somebody for the second half. Come on down.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Remember the old days that the Target used to do the thing on the floor field at halftime where they dropped like envelopes of money out the like a blimp and you used to catch it with the shopping cart? You never saw those? That was a big promotion the Lions used to do.
I wasn't working. I was over there at the ice cream.
I know you weren't looking at it. But that was a big promotion where they would drop envelopes and you had to catch it in a shopping cart. But that's what I'm saying. I would have had kicking competition out there.
Here's the thing about Kenny. Just let me throw in one thing here. How do you look at the Lions after 4 games now?
I thought they would be 2-2.
Yeah.
Better offensively, worse defensively than I thought they would be. But like I told you, I expected this team to be an 8 or 9 win team, and I haven't changed it a bit because I just think that if you're 4-4 after 8 games, the second half is when teams win or lose in this league. It's not the first half. Rarely a team. Sometimes a team. Remember, I'm about to do it again. 80 Lions started out 4-0 and didn't make the playoffs.
No, they had some weird things happen.
I know. They finished 9-7, though. I'm just saying.
Yep.
It's not the first half. It's the second half. You stick around in the first half.
They finished 9-7 and they missed the playoffs because Ahmad Rashad caught a deflected ball for a touchdown.
Right. But my point being, though, even though you're 4-0, if you don't finish strong,
no,
it doesn't hurt. And I think this team is going to finish strong. I just do. Even if you think about Barry Sanders' first year, remember they won the 5 in a row at the end or whatever?
5 in a row.
It didn't set them up for the next year because they were 6-10, but it set them up for that run they made 2 years
91,
later.
Yeah, 91 through 91 through 97 with right. Barry, and then 91 through 2000. They had 7 winning seasons in there. They had three years with double-digit wins. 2 years that they won the NFC Central title. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. Look, I've watched a little bit of the Green Bay Packers. They can be had.
And you've seen Minnesota can be had. You've seen Green Bay can be had. And I'm going to tell you right now, Chicago is the worst team in the division. I don't care what anybody says. You got a quarterback throwing for 100 yards a game. It comes when he plays the Lions, he'll throw for 300, but nevertheless.
What does he average? Nine passes?
Yeah, 15 passes a week or something. So, I mean, this thing is there, but you got to do it right. That's my whole thing. And I think they're doing it the right way. Everybody's excited. Everybody wants Aaron Glenn fired today. Unless Aaron Glenn's going to go back out there and play. And I'm not saying he's the greatest play caller in the world. There's been some mistakes. But he can only do with what he has.
Well, I mean, here's one thing about Aaron Glenn. And I'm not calling for his firing or anything like this. But I will say this. You cannot let emotion and friendship influence these decisions. You really can't, because you know what will happen? You'll all be gone.
What do you mean by that?
I'm saying, look, if you just hang on to a guy who you think is, and he's not doing the job for whatever reason, you just can't, I'm going to hang on to him because we're close and we're friends, because you're going to end up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's going to be out the door. But I'm not saying that that's the case and all that. I'm just, before you start, get too emotional and all that, you've got to make decisions as a head coach that some of them you don't want to make, but you have to.
Right.
But no, I think it's way too early for that. Way too early.
That shouldn't be in the conversation this year. Now, you want to have a conversation in the offseason or whatever. And the only way I see you replacing guy, everybody talking about Anthony Lynn last year. There were other problems with why Anthony Lynn got relieved of duty. It wasn't all about the offense. It was a lot of problems. And I'm gonna leave it at that. It wasn't just because they weren't scoring.
Well, so, I like Anthony Lynn.
I do too, but I'm just saying there was some personality conflicts. Let's just say between people,
him and the quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but just it was right. There was some personality conflicts. Yeah. So there was more than just Aaron Glenn has his guys in the room. They follow him. It's just that I just think that lack of talent, lack of experience, and they need a leader. I think those are the three things. If you do that, they can get better. And like I said, if they get back to within the top 25 by the end of the year, and the offense stays where it is, you'll have a good season. I ain't say a great season. You'll be all right with what's going on. And I'm all right with what's going on now.
Well, let me just tell you, I hesitate to say this, but it sort of validates what you're saying. So, as much as I regret saying that you might be onto something, I've got to say something. And you go back to 1987, 1988. In those 2 years, the Detroit Lions drafted Jerry Ball, Benny Blades, and Chris Spielman. And those were three strong leaders, linebacker, defensive tackle, and a safety. Three strong, and I mean strong, strong leaders who were Pro Bowl players.
Right.
The Detroit Lions do not have any of that.
Right.
Not even close defensively. Right. None of it.
And that was my Tracy Walker beef. As good as Tracy Walker was, he's still not in that category of those players.
I think he was a good player, just good.
Now, players that can become one of those three, Hutchinson, if he plays good, has the potential. But he's got the personality. He's a hard worker, but he's got to play. He's got the third part. You got to be a player. Rodriguez, years down the line, could do it.
Yeah,
but they're rookies right now, so really they're not. That's why I said, bring a guy like Jared Davis back. It can't get any worse.
Well, we would have said that yesterday at halftime, and it did get worse.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, Mike, I'm going to wrap it up there because I've been yakking long enough. Next week, they play the Matt Patricia-led
New England Patriots.
New England Patriots with one of the quarterbacks I was looking at, the Lions to draft in a later round, probably going to be starting, Mr. Zappy, Mr. Brick Zappy. Yep. And another test. And you know what? Everything is forgotten if you win this week from last week.
Well, what you're if they win that next week, they can beat the Patriots. You're going to lament even more the loss of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, but you usually lament.
That one's good.
But you lament. The laments come at the end of the season. Right now, you just move on to the next one. But you're only as good as your last game.
I'm lamenting.
Well, you can lament it by yourself, Mike. I'm going to give you time to lament by yourself. Have a good time lamenting this afternoon.
Didn't Lament play for the Tigers?
Yes, Jim Lament. All right, that's Michael here at DetroitLions.com. Ken Brown, WGR Radio. Listen to Frank Ragnow this afternoon, 5:30, and we'll find out about what he thinks of the 1-3 Detroit Lions. That's Ken Brown, and we are out.